I try to help improve another brother's life by coming through with the righteous rule. Tell right from wrong, make people move, not idiot crossover songs that appeal to all and make you sing along. No, this one is for the chosen few who want to build and uplift my people too. So listen to the words I speak, cause the words are truth and truth what I teach. By talking about the things that I see when talking about this color called ever, called ever.
What's up, what's up, what's up? Thank you for joining us. You have tuned in to Don't Bite Your Tongue, and we are back for another Sunday to wrap this thing on out, y'all. Hope you all have had a wonderful week, but before we get into our show topic and our guests and everything, I would like to say and introduce my ride or die. That would be Black Widow. All right.
Hey, happy Sunday, everybody.
Girl, see, that's a throwback. See, that song, that's Paris, y'all. Song called Ebony. That song is from, like, that's from when hip-hop was, like, hip-hop, where it was about uplifting the community. Like, you kind of hard-pressed to find some people just to be blatantly talking about uplifting the community. So I thought we'd throw back to, like, that 80s hip-hop. That was Paris, Ebony. He is a pretty radical brother, you know what I'm saying? Really good music. I mean, it's very basic compared to, like, now the bass line that you hear. But for him and his music in that time, it wasn't about the bass line. It was about the message, which really is the reverse of what it is right now. Wouldn't you say, Widow?
Absolutely. Completely different.
Yes. Right. It's about shaking that thing, dropping it like it's hot, and how many diamonds you can put in your teeth and your grills and how many fitness you got. And, you know, it's just, damn.
You look...
Exactly. You look at it, it's like, damn, my kids just don't stand a fucking chance. I swear to goodness. But so today we're going to be talking about Black America, y'all. And we're going to air out some of our dirty laundry, shall we say. You know, I think a big thing happens with us that, you know, what do I want to say here? We know stuff is happening in our neighborhoods, in our community, not just our neighborhoods, but in our community. And each of us as individual families or what have you, there are individual families, but then we all make up the collective community. And there is a lot of bullshit that's happening in our communities that we really need to speak about. And I think by shedding light on it, being honest about where we stand and our responsibility and our accountability in these circumstances, that's a healing point. What do they say in AA? You don't. What is it called? The first step is to recognize you have a problem.
Yeah, that's what I hear. That's what I hear.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? You said that's what I hear. But I ain't never been to a meeting enough.
I ain't never been at all, y'all. But that's what I heard. You know.
But you know that's for real with any situation. You know, not even having to be with Alcoholics Anonymous. You know what I'm saying? It can be anything. But you know. You got to recognize that it's an issue before you can actually address the issue. And I think we often get ashamed of being able to call a thing a thing. And that's what you have to do. You have to call these things out so that we can then remedy and rectify the situations, you know. So that's what we're trying to do today. I'm going to say this a couple times during this call, during this show. This is a conversation that we are having with us, right? So when I say that, let me clarify this statement. If you are one of our white listeners, we love you so very much. We really do. And we appreciate your support. We appreciate your perspective on life. But if you are a white listener, European, Caucasian, again, thank you. But please do not be disrespectful enough to call in or ignorant enough to call in and tell black people what they need to do to fix their problems in their community, right? Because that then goes into a whole nother topic of white privilege, right? And so we don't want to get into that, and nor do we want to shut you down. But let's just kind of stay in our lane, because that's not going to be received well. Let me just say that, okay? That's not going to be received well. But what you can do if you're interested, you can call in and ask questions because you want to understand. You can call in and maybe speak on ways that you may want to help or be understanding. You know what I'm saying? But don't call in telling us what we need to do, okay? So let me just get that out the way. I don't want to call nobody no motherfuckers this week. That's not what I'm trying to do. Okay. So let's just not do it. And you know what's so funny about that whole exchange last week, Widow? Everybody's like, you know, we would have thought it would have been Widow who lost her shit.
No, they didn't. Did they say that for real?
They did say that. Like,
I keep telling y'all, I'm the sensible one. Y'all don't get that. Y'all ain't understand that. I feel real hurt by that comment.
No, it just wasn't the right circumstances. You know what I'm saying? Y'all don't let her fool y'all. Seriously, don't let her fool y'all, because that's not the truth she's telling. I'm just here to tell you.
It is. You know I'm the sensible one. Y'all, look,
yeah.
Proof is in the pudding. Two shows ago, if y'all did not listen, go back and listen to the show. Two shows ago, it's archived on www.blogtalkradio/don'tbiteyourtongue. That wasn't me. That was our love, y'all. It wasn't Black Widow. That was our love. Black Widow was saying, hey, guys, let's just all get along. Issues, but I thought the mechanic was willing to come to me, so
that
taking care of.
Did that number work for you?
Did who?
Did that number I gave you work for you?
You didn't give me a number.
Girl, shame the devil, shame them, because I text you a number. I think
you
even
didn't.
On Facebook, I put the number. Girl,
you didn't.
Go
it
ahead,
wasn't
talk.
Me.
I'm about
it
to
wasn't
sign
me.
This. I'm about to.
Okay. While she's signing, let me tell y'all. My love did not assist me in finding a mechanic, but I did find one, and he's awesome, and he's going to make sure that I'm right. But other than that, I'm having a good week. Okay, let's just be real about some shit. Just don't bite your tongue. I got two teenagers, y'all. I got kids at Europort. I was a little busy in my early 2000s, okay? And I don't know.
Thanks to Pony Boy, there's a story there.
Yes. Pony Boy, affirmation.
And he is not the baby daddy. I'm just going to let y'all know. Thanks to Pony Boy, and he is not the baby daddy. But go ahead.
Ain't right. Just to be y'all. Well, ain't no wrong with a threesome. I'm just, okay, look. So, I'm just asking. Is there a manual out there for raising teenage girls? If anybody know of one, and I already know about the Bible, so don't call me about that, a different one that can give me detail step by step on how to do this, because I've never done it before, raised teenage girls, I would surely appreciate that website, that telephone number, or an address. Because right now, my oldest is putting me through it, and not in a way that she's acting out, but in a way that she is just has me on my knees just praying for her. So I'm soliciting prayers and a manual on how to take care of this teenage child of mine, y'all.
Yeah, you know, I raised boys. It was a different time, but I did raise boys, and well, it's a little different because, it was a little different because my oldest, never mind. So it's a little different. So what I would say as a suggestion to you is very simple with your girls. Never call them bitches, even though you may feel like it sometimes. And leave it where it's an open level of communication. Because you know what? And I know you got that. But you know what? There's always a thought process behind the foolishness that you see. It's like, what now? You know what I'm saying? Can we just, and I stand corrected. I thought I had seen the little seeing thing or whatever, but I had didn't.
It's in your draft.
So,
okay.
She right. Look, she right. I didn't send her the information. But with your girl, love on them, love on them, love on them, and keep praying, and I'm going to pray with you. How about that?
Yes, yes. Because I don't want to call her out her name. I just want to hug and love her and squeeze her. And the issue
like
we have now is, the issue, I don't know if it's a phase, because I have gone through this phase, y'all, because I have no problem with keeping it real with y'all. I have gone through this phase where tomorrow, I didn't give a fuck about seeing tomorrow. Fuck tomorrow. If I ain't here, who going to miss me? Who going to care about me? And that's the phase she's going through, and I pray to God it's a phase that she like, I ain't worried about tomorrow. I don't care if I'm here or not. Excuse you? You don't what? Yeah.
Really?
Soliciting prayers.
Where's that coming from?
We don't
where
know.
Where's that coming from?
I don't. Exactly.
That's that bullshit. See, I was listening. For real. Now, we talk and we cuss on this show, but for real, y'all, right now, we just going to go into a prayer. Y'all going to be like, what? They cuss and they pray? Yes, we do. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But for real, though, Lord, we lift up and we going to call out the name. And it's the oldest we're speaking of. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Lord, we come to you today as humbly as we know how, first giving you thanks and honor and praise for this day, Lord. Lord, we ask that you forgive us for any sins, any transgressions that we have committed that are against your will for us, Lord. Lord, we lift up to you, little Miss Heaven, God. You know the plan and the destiny that you have for her and her life, Lord. We know how the enemy comes in and tries to make one think that there is no plan, that this is going nowhere. And he starts, really he does, he starts with the youngest minds, God. But, Lord, we ask that you encamp your angels around her, Lord, encamp them around her mind, her spirit, God, her physical person, God. Let no harm come to her, God. Open her mind and let her see her purpose, Lord. Let her know that you are ever present and that you have a destiny for her that surpasses anything that she currently understands, Lord. Open the doors of her mind and let her know that she was put here for a purpose and she must, God, fulfill your purpose for her life. We pray this to the Most High name of Jesus Christ, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And I count
Amen.
That done. I count that done.
In Jesus' name.
Okay. We have to take those moments and say that sometimes. Because sometimes you'll hear something. You remember that party we had? And our girl was there, and she dancing around and acting like everything all good and partying and all that. And then she
I
just
do believe
them. You know what I'm talking about? And then she just flat in. You know, sometimes I just want to kill myself. Excuse me.
What's that?
No, ma'am. Party, y'all need to go up here. We got some ministering to do. And it's like, ministering in this environment. Yeah, because it just presented itself. You know what I'm saying? There's a duality here, and we must address that. Seriously, oh, my goodness. That's some deep stuff right there. But, you know, when you get the opportunity to be a blessing to somebody, don't miss that. You know what I'm saying? Really, really don't miss that. Listen, we have our guest, are on the line with us. And my week, real quick, I had one. I'm here today. That's all, you know, it is, you know. So I had to work. Didn't get that winning lottery ticket, you know what I'm saying? So I have to go to work next week. You're right, okay? That Lucky for Life, I play that every now and then. I would love to have $1,000 a week for the rest of my life. That would just be a wonderful thing. And, yeah, y'all, I know I got a better chance of getting struck by lightning 2 times before I win the lottery. I get that. It's just for some fun, all right? So don't get all on me about spending money on lottery ticket shit. Okay. But we do have our guests on the line. First, we're going to bring up Mr. Mufasa, my brother. Mufasa, my brother. Hold on, let me get you. Mufasa, my brother. What's up, man? Hello.
Hello?
Yeah.
Mufasa?
It's you.
He ain't there.
Are we on mute? 9328? Hello? We'll put him back on hold. Maybe he has to go run and do something real quick.
Yeah, do something real quick before he got ready.
Right,
he got a little sip of water or something.
Right. Got a little thirsty. I got my bottle of water here. And then we do have our lovely other guest. And, girl, let me tell you something. I spoke to this young lady last week, and I was like, you know what? I am so glad I got hooked up with you, because you about to come on this show, give us some truth, give us some insight, you know what I'm saying, about what we need to do in the Black community for ourselves, right, looking internally. So I just want to talk about Miss Deja Polk. She's 26 years old, and I love her bio. It says she's enrolled in the School of Life. Girl, you go. And I ain't mad at it. She's a mother of three. She's a community activist and youth leader, freedom fighter, columnist, blogger, entrepreneur. She's also an artist and former chairwoman of the NBPP St. Louis local chapter and a spokesperson for the Leadership Coalition for Justice. This sister is so dynamic, and we appreciate having her on the show. Miss Dacia Poe, welcome her.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
And wait a minute. Tennessee, and I didn't pronounce your name wrong. Girl, Jesus, help me.
You said Dacia, I believe.
Dacia. Then the second time I said Dacia, like when we talked before, I'm like, I'm pronouncing every syllable, I mean, every vowel in the first name. I went to private school.
Sorry.
They say you're supposed to pronounce every vowel. But thank you for coming on the show so much. Let's see if Mufasa is back from his break. Hold on.
Thank you for having me.
Mufasa, my brother. For real? Mufasa.
He knows he's supposed to be on the line.
Right, he knows he's supposed to be on his line. All right, we'll come back in just a minute. So what's up with you, Deja?
Everything's great. You know, but not community-wise, definitely.
Right. We got some stuff to address. I wanted to bring you up on the line because this is a segment. We still want to do our Just Us segment. And what I wanted to have you on the line, and Mufasa as well, but I wanted to have you on the line just to hear about it. This didn't, at least for me, it wasn't like big news. I didn't see it. I just kind of happened to catch this on one of the open news lines. That over in Brooklyn, Illinois, this is an article dated from March 26th. This is our Just Us segment where we talk about things that happen in the justice system that seem to happen to only just us, okay? But this is more widespread. In Brooklyn, Illinois, the Brooklyn Police Department was raided by a number of law enforcement agencies, including the Illinois State Police and the St. Clair County Sheriff, for corruption. The raid was connected to corruption allegations, which relate to the theft of evidence, weapons, drugs, and other items from the evidence room. One of the police officers was even bold enough to take a picture with one of the semi-automatic weapons that was in the evidence room. So every case that he's had to deal with is being thrown out because, well, he's corrupt. Isn't that something? I mean, you hear about these things, and it's so foolish that you're like, what now? You take a picture with an AR-15 rifle in your own personal car that you stole from the evidence room? Like, how did you pass the psychological exam.
Well, first of all, we don't know what they look for when they do finally accept an officer after graduating from the academy. And, you know, you find out that you only have to be, you only have to have a high school diploma in order to actually be an officer as well. So taking that into consideration and the fact that these are people too. And, you know, everybody falls prey to temptation, their own personal folly. That's exactly what we're dealing with at this point, though, just the fact that people, these police officers are people. So they have their prejudice, they have their bigotry, they have their personal experiences and how they change their outlook on life. And then we have to deal with them in the streets while they're wearing their blue uniform and they're
right.
out of their mind.
That's right. You know, what was interesting, I saw a story on CNN. I don't know how long ago this was, but there's a brother who looks like Uncle Ruckus, by the way, but he doesn't act like an Uncle Ruckus, who is a collector of KKK memorabilia. He's a black man. And what's interesting is he showed this robe, this green robe, excuse me, which is supposed to be like a high wizard. I don't know about the hierarchy of the KKK, but he indicated that, you know, having that green robe meant that you were higher up in the hierarchy. And he was very dramatic in his display. He showed the robe, and then he peeled the robe off of the hanger and said, and in the daytime, he wore this uniform, and it was a police officer's uniform for, I don't
wow.
want to call out the wrong city, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, interesting. I mean, that speaks to the systemic and institutionalized racism that does exist in our communities and the things that we're faced with. And this also speaks to, you know, the same thing where people will say, well, you know, the sergeant who sent the joke around in Ferguson, oh, it's just a joke. But that has to come from somewhere. If you feel comfortable enough spreading, you know, a degrading joke or one that people will look at as harmless, but there's some racial undertones and the community in which you're policing is primarily black, that's going to be a problem, wouldn't you all say?
Absolutely.
Hello?
Hello?
It's like, yeah, you know,
yeah, but,
it's like,
yeah.
it's
but
like
the entire affairs department
it.
Is supposed to deal with anything that, any grievances or anything that happened that concerns the officers. Honestly, the strangest things to me have to do more so with just the therapy that comes along with the psychological damage that comes with having some manhandling charges and comes with having to tackle a woman that stole some infant out of a Walmart to feed her starving baby with. You know, there's some really deep-rooted psychological issues that develop in an officer once he has to deal with so many situations. So they either cut themselves off completely emotionally, or they continue to, well, that's a sign of suffering, or they outwardly continue to suffer from psychological damage of dealing with those high stressful situations. And so that right there, though, that is something else. That right there.
Right? I mean, that's pretty deep. But, you know, I'm glad to see that in Brooklyn, Illinois, that they did take some action. What I do wonder about, which the article does not speak about, was how long had the complaints been going on? You know, was this something that they heard about immediately and they, you know, responded to? Typically, it was something pretty as big as this, though, I would bet that they probably had to set it up right, you know?
Usually there is some sort of investigation that goes on, and they try to keep it as under wraps as possible, especially if they bring in agents from another department to deal with whatever the issue is. But unfortunately, people get in so deep that there's no, you know, the cover-up is very flimsy. It's flimsy, and once it becomes exposed, everybody's going down. Because, you know, I mean, hey, realistically, you could make you a nice little plea bargain or some sort of deal, by snitching on your officers over you or anybody else that was involved. And so then you have the whole department eventually that's compromised.
Right, exactly. What I expect to see from this is a lot of cases thrown out because I'm sure he's not the one bad apple. You know what I mean? I'm sure there's more than one.
Oh,
without a doubt. There's more than
one
bad apple.
With the DOJ report, in regards to Ferguson and their practices, they've uncovered a lot. They've uncovered similar situations like what happened with them, but where's the rate? You know, where's the rate? Where's the shutdown? You know,
That's right.
It's interesting. It's just interesting how they're choosing to go about doing things and what manner they choose to go about it. It's so interesting.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think they're probably in Ferguson trying to wait for things to, they're waiting for it to die down so that they don't have to take any more action. I know that there was I don't know the proper word, but like a motion, not a legal motion, but an affidavit, that's what I'm saying, to recall the mayor, Knowles. We'll see where that goes. I know the election is coming up here in April, so hopefully that, you know, the Ferguson residents were united in signing that and trying to get him recalled. I think it does start at the top, and for him to stay does not send the right message, in my opinion.
Oh, well,
let's see if
Go ahead.
Yeah, hold on.
No, I was just going to say that there were some activists who went on over to Mayor Knowles' house and were asking him to step down. And, of course, he refused. But we'll see what happens with that affidavit.
Yeah, right, right. Mufasa.
Hey.
Hey.
What's happening?
Hello. Please forgive me.
What you got, that metro phone or something? What's happening? You got that metro phone?
No. I was in an event at Better Family Life Community Center, and it went over a little late. And so my phone went off, because I had you guys on alarm to alarm me when the time comes. So I called so you wouldn't, but I had to wrap that up at the same time. But
Please forgive me. You are so forgiving, my brother. We will not hold it against you. We just appreciate you joining us on the show. And we're going to delve into our topic today. But before we start, and our topic today is African-Americans airing our dirty laundry, right? Dirty Laundry on the Line, actually, was the title of the show. But listen to this comment from Dr. Umar Johnson, and this really sets up our conversation for today.
Brothers and sisters, around this time, 150 years ago, the United States Congress ratified the 13th Amendment, which we know did not give us political and economic freedom, but gave us a degree of physical freedom. This December of 2015 will mark our 150th year since the official close of slavery. So this year, we must engage in some very deep reflection, because we have to ask ourselves a very important question. And that question is simply this: after 150 years since the close of physical slavery, can we use the excuse that the white man is the only reason for why we haven't made more progress?
So, wow. We have to ask that hard question. Deja, what do you think about that? What do you think about his statement? His question that's being posed. Can you blame this on the white man?
Not all of it. To this point, today, to stand on today and continue to still have that as a whole mentality, that's false, in my opinion. That's the beginning, though. That's the first step.
Okay.
But that's not the end all be all.
That's right.
Well, I feel like this. The beginning part, yes, it was the white man's fault. Because, this whole system was set up, and they did condition us. But at the point we're in now, it's time for us to wake up. We got the resources and the knowledge itself to start waking up out of that. So we're catching it on both ends. We're catching it from a system that was set up by white races, but we also getting it on the back end from our own brothers who stuck in this nigga mentality. So we're catching it on both ends. If we could get all our brothers to wake up, our brothers and sisters to wake up and know who we are and what we are, and say, we don't care about what the white man has done. It's time for us to move on. It's time for us to move forward. So, yeah, in the beginning, it was their fault, because they set up this system. They brought us over here. They set up this whole system of America. But now it's time for us to wake up and do what we need to do. Know who we are, become what we're supposed to be. We don't have to keep blaming them. It's time for us to do what we got to do for ourselves.
What's your thoughts, Widow?
Well, I really just had a question from Mufasa. You said to wake up and do what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
From your point of view, where would you start at? From somebody out there saying, you know what, he's right. I want to go ahead and make a change. I don't know where to start. What do you say to them?
Okay. Well, the first thing you want to do is because, you know, we're in the Internet world. Everything is out there on the Internet. So for people who just want to just use that as a tool, which is a powerful tool, it's different resources. You can Google up different names. Like it's a brother by the name of Ashwat Kwesi. You can start with him. Look up something. Just Google in his name, put him in YouTube. And he has a lot of information on showing you who your ancestors were, what what we contributed to the world as far as math, science, everything. So you can start with just that name alone. And that will lead you into other people, even a brother, Dr. Ray Higgins, which I have some issues with him, but he's still a powerful brother. You can look him up, and he'll lead you into knowing who we are, who we were, you know, where we come from. So you first have to look into our true history of what we are. It didn't start with slavery. We were not always just slaves. You know, they want to give us our history of we came to America in chains and, you know, from there and forth. But no, we got a deeper history than that. To go back thousands and thousands of years, we got to go back to that and come forth from that. So you can start with that, just learning the true history of who we are as Black people.
And so, Deja, okay, so we hear that. So, Deja, answer this then. If I hear you, if a person is conscious enough to say, I want to learn, but what about that large group out there that's like, nigga, fuck you talking about, dog. We ain't from Africa, shit. We might be from Africa, but we over here now, dog, and it's about me getting mine. How do you get to that unconscious brother or sister that's out there? How do we address that? Because, you know, really, if you're just only speaking to those who already want to know, then you're kind of speaking to the choir and leaving a whole bunch out there. So how do we get to those individuals, Stacia?
Well, ignorance is bliss. I think that we live in a world full of so many gadgets and so many technical tools that we oftentimes don't really think about where it all started, where it all came from. And also, you know, being indoctrinated starts with our school system. So, you know, we aren't really taught much about who we are or what our ancestors have accomplished for American society. And with that being said, we don't know about these things and because we haven't been taught about these things, and had we been, we would have an appreciation for these things. We would have more questions about everything in regards to our history, in regards to where we've come from, and that and so forth. So it's creating an awareness. So if I stop a brother on the street and I'm like, hey, brother, did you know that the first pair of leather shoes was created by a Black man named XYZ, you know, then he'd be like, oh, straight up, I had no idea. You never know. That might stick with him. He might teach that to his son, and then his son might grow up to be a shoemaker. You just never know where that one drop of knowledge will take someone. But for me, it's about the thirst. It's about the, once I get my hands on some information, that needs to build more, the thirst for more information. And although, Mufasa, you brought up a good point that we have a wonderful, beautiful tool at our hands called the Internet where you can research and look up anything. That does not necessarily mean that one single person is going to be the best reference. You have to cross-reference your information. You have to challenge even what these quote-unquote master teachers are saying. You have to be able to think objectively. And eventually, if it's that interesting to you, put together a research team. Go to Egypt. Go wherever you need to go in order to find the answers that you seek. Because no one can quite gather the information like you. people can give you information all day. I can tell you something and you can run with it. That's honestly how most Black people get their information. Somebody told them about something, now, you know, they're saying it, but it's not exactly what the person said at first. So it's now something a little remixed, and the next person they told it to then switched it up and changed it to what they wanted it to be. It's like playing telephone. That's how we get most of our information. Usually, by the time it gets to somebody, a bunch of it's not even really true. So
right.
For me, it's like, hey, I want unadulterated information. I know the only way to get that, even though I do have great respect for a lot of our authors, Anthony T. Browder, Francis Press Welsing, Chancellor Williams, all of our scholars, our noted scholars, I have great respect for them. May he rest in peace. Yes, all of them, although I have great respect for them, I would still like to do the research myself. I would still like to travel and have my own two eyes on whatever it is that I see. Because that's the only way I know that what I'm getting is the absolute truth.
Right.
And see,
can I add something real quick?
Sure.
I was just going to add that, like, the reason I threw out, like, those one or two is because I know a lot of us, like, you know, some of us don't have the resources to even to go over, you know, to the continent.
Yeah.
That's something right. I've been wanting to do for quite a few years now. But just me alone, because I guess what's in me, just one person planted a seed. And from that one person, it led me to study this person, and it led me to study that person and read that book. Now, going back to what your question in the beginning, everybody ain't like that, ain't wired like that. I had three girls. I brought them all up in an Afrocentric household. Two grasped hold, one didn't. She still hasn't grasped hold. You know, I'm still hoping that what I taught her will come back around. So it's another guy by the name of Walter Williams that taught me that we are all, our universe. Y'all have heard me say that before. So it's not in everybody to grasp hold. I don't feel that we can save everybody. Some of us are going to keep the same mentality of, well, fuck that African shit. I don't give a damn.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
So let them have it. Let them have it. I feel like I'm at a point now where, and me and Dasha talked about this a little while ago, I'm ready to just start a different community and move on. Let the nigga have their community and let the Black man and woman have their community. I mean, it may be wrong, but that's where I'm at now. That's where I'm at now.
Let's stick right there, because that to me, separatism, I guess,
mm-hmm.
it's like separatism within our own community, which, I mean, I hear the reasoning behind why you would want to separate from those who are not as evolved as you are, but mm-hmm. it seems that it then perpetuates, to use Dr. Umar Johnson's term, that radical mm-hmm. individualism that is plaguing our community. I say that it's plaguing our community because we don't see each other as being connected to one another. And truly, I think we are only as strong as our weakest link. I mean, that sounds cliche, but
mm-hmm.
until we are able to transform or inform the minds of those who are lost, then our work is not done. It's not for us to leave them to their devices. Yes, there are going to be those who regardless of what you say, are not going to come aboard this train of evolution mentally, or revolution for that matter, right?
Right.
But we still need to be involved. You know what I'm saying? And I think,
I totally agree with that. I do.
Yeah, you know, because everybody's not going to make it. I get that. But that's the problem with that individualized thinking, that that's them over there acting like that. The problem with
right.
them over there acting like that is that the consequences for them happens to all of us.
But you know what I love about what you just said? And because I know all three of y'all are going to agree with that. But you know what?
Well,
what that
Black
shows?
Widow does not agree with that.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just getting ready to say that a lot of women do feel that way, then it's a nurturing thing, and I don't take that away from I understand where that comes from. I understand exactly where that comes from. Who wants to lead? Because at the end of the day, all of us as Black people, we are a family, and you don't want to leave your child behind.
I do want to explain why. I mean, I straddle the fence because I do advocate for a closed community to be built, and it's not necessarily to separate us from them, but for me, it's about a collective mindset and what's best for the community. And the closed community specifically is more so just for that, to feel protected, to feel like this is my brother, this is my sister, we are in the same. And it's not a sense of evolution, but more so a sense of unity and unitedness. So in my mind, it's not an individualism that so much comes with that, but I do think I have a duty as a scholar to take the information that I have gained and to spread that information amongst people who don't quite have whatever resources or have not come to an awakened state where they have that realization. It just explained to me how a lot of people who consider themselves to be awakened or to be enlightened, to kind of see the way that the world is structured and not use it as a tool to awake others up. While we know how the television brainwashes people, how we know how the school systems are constructed in a way where they aren't fully educating the students.
No, they're pipelined to the prison system. So we need, that's a whole other show topic as well.
But yeah, we should be using our awakenings, that we should be using the information that we have on how these constructs work and use it as an effective tool to create a new, a new mindset, so we can bring more people into what it is that we're trying to do, not necessarily to leave anyone behind because they're not quite there yet. And granted, there are some people
It's sinking. Jump on the boat. No, hell no. Y'all go. Come on, baby. Get in the boat. No. I'm going to make it.
People are not fully even functioning at the brain capacity to even be able to understand what's really happening. It's not that they don't want to. They just don't have the capability to do so because they aren't doing what they need to do for themselves holistically or health-wise to make sure that they're even functioning in a way where they can absorb the information correctly. So,
yeah. Widow, what were your thoughts on that?
From my point of view, those who don't want to know, I'm not going to waste my energy on trying to make you know. Now, I'm one of those people that believe in supporting and educating people to my left and my right. I don't believe in leaving people behind. But if your ass want to sit over there and be stubborn and not want to entertain the information I'm giving you, I'm not going to beat it over your head. You keep your dumb ass over there, and I'm going to come over here with the people who want to know. So eventually, you're going to get curious enough to bring your ass over, you're just going to walk further away. Then you do that. And the reason why I say that is because you can spend so much energy on one individual or one group of individuals that just don't want to know, while you got the people who want to know over here stagnant, where if you to come back and give them more and more, and that could frustrate them to be like, you know what, fuck it. They over there with them. They trying to get them to come over here. I'm already here. Where is my knowledge? Where are you going to educate me? You know, where are you going to get to me? And that's just how I feel about it. I'm not going to sit here and give you all my time and all my energy because your ass want to be stuck in the mind state of what you have heard or seen on TV or on the radio or maybe even just lived and you stuck in that place. When you want to get out of it, you will. And I believe everybody has the capacity and the ability to soak in any type of knowledge on any level. It's about what you want to allow in. And if you don't want it in, you're just not going to accept it. And that's fine. And I get that those people over there can give us as a black race a bad name, but it doesn't have to be what I carry around with me. It doesn't have to be how I walk or how I stand. Because you might say that about me because I'm a black woman, but once you speak to me, once you hold a conversation with me, once you meet me, it's like, oh, no, she's not like that at all. For instance, when you first meet me and you see me, I'm the meanest person you'll probably ever see.
Ooh,
and people say that to me all the time. Oh, your looks, the way you look at a person.
Let me save you.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Look, I know where Mufasa be at. That's all right, y'all. So
okay. Wait, and look, y'all, we got a caller. I don't want them to hold too long. So, caller, we're going to come to you at last four digits of your number are 2277. Caller, we're coming to you.
Hello.
Hello, caller.
Hey, this is hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you very well. Thank you for calling in.
What's
up, bud?
Hey, I'm all right. Hey, this is Ty from D.C.
Hey, Ty,
okay.
DC, what's up, brother?
You know, one of the things I find is very weird is that we as a people will tend to take our environment, whatever is going around, and make that our identity. We're too tied into what's going on at the place that we're at. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. What happens is when people stop being reactive to the things that are happening at that point in time. For example, if let's just say we're, because human is a type of animal, whether people want to say that or not, but let's say we're animals and there's not enough resources in this one part of the earth to support all of us. Why do we all collect in that one part of the earth and cling to it when there's not enough resources? So you'll notice other animals will migrate to other places because there's a possibility of other resources. Not only will they migrate to other places, but they will not reproduce as much when they get to places if they see that there's a shortage. When there's an abundance, they will. When there's not. So I'm not trying to take us through that a whole scientific thing. But one of the things I noticed when I analyze a place like Inkster, Michigan, like what happened with Mr. Dent over in Inkster, everybody's looking at the racial aspects of it and looking at the police brutality. But what a lot of people aren't really thinking about is this. Michigan in itself is over $500 million in debt. And each of those cities inside that happen to be black cities attribute to a lot of that debt. And Inkster itself is in heavy debt. They don't have enough revenue-generating people there to really support a police force. So what any government or system does is it tries to get the most out of the people that it possibly can to retain its sovereignty. So in this case, they went from over 50-some officers down to 25 officers. They shrunk. They're begging the National Guard to come in and help police the people because there's not enough police to police the people. So what they do is they resort to hiring bad cops because they're cheap. And the cop that did the beating was a bad cop because he was from Detroit. He was under FBI investigation along with the Detroit police. He was charged with several, he was accused of several things, and he was acquitted, and he has some federal charges on him now. But yet he still is able to have a job in Inkster. Why? Because that's what they can afford. They're desperate. Yeah. So people don't realize that Inkster has a big drug problem. It has a lot of problems, and they just don't have the resources because the people are not supporting the city. They're not trying to help out the leadership. They've had the same leader in office for over a decade, and nobody else is standing up. Nobody's running. He's unopposed every time because nobody wants to be reactive. Now, understand, sometimes we as people, what we do is we get so caught up in ourselves and what's going on, we'll sit there and argue and bicker with each other about the situation, but we won't even look outside of our situation to see what other people are doing, what resources outside I can get and bring back. And it's that we want to stay in our little, you know, cocoon and wait to get slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, from your perspective, brother, and we do thank you for your call, you know, as a community, or I guess it starts with individual actions that, you know, work as a collective. And this is a question for everyone on the line, though. So now that we do we need to call out what all the problems are? Or let me rephrase the question. In your opinion, what is the one thing that we could do that we can be responsible for and accountable for to be impactful in making a change in our community? And, caller, you can go first if you don't mind.
Okay, I personally think it's two things. One, we don't focus enough on job placement. We tend to think about job creation a lot. Now, what people don't realize is there are jobs out there. Have you ever noticed you apply for a job, it's been posted for months, but they haven't hired anybody? And that's because certain businesses that receive federal grants, they're trying to hold out on hiring because they want to use the money for something else, okay? But if we had enough people to train and place people, we can take advantage of the opportunities that's out there, and that will force more job creation, okay? The second aspect of it, too, is we do not focus on laundering statistics. Now, this whole nation is focused around laundering numbers. We take drug money and we turn it into clean money. We do it all the time as a nation. We take things that are fines that you get in court and we turn it into revenue for the city. We take a lot of things. That's how cities, states, and federal government runs. With our communities, we have these bad statistics, and we say, okay, we don't want to sell our communities out and get gentrified, but we never think about connecting with Africans. Now, I know people say that all the time, well, Africans don't get along with us, or we don't want them to get over here and then think they're better and do all this stuff like that, but understand that as we speak, most Africans think when they come to America, they have to look for white people to give them opportunities because they are under this interpretation in their brains that white people have everything, that black people are not bosses, that don't employ white people. This is the thought they have, and then they get over here and see the opposite, and they're confused. So we have to clear that up, and we have to provide opportunities for them to come into the communities because we both look to some degree alike. And on the forms, when you fill out a job application or do a census, it says black or of African descent. Pay attention to the fact that what is happening is the government has changed the form several times on the census, and then jobs are doing it too, where if you're Hispanic, it now says choose brown or white. And it says that for a lot of things. North Africa now says white if you're from North Africa. So what happens is if you check the 2013 census, whites were down to 62.6%, and then before 2014 even hit, they were over 70% of the population. How did that happen? Because the statistics are being laundered, and we don't fight back with those statistics. We just sit and collect in our own little tribal places.
Interesting. Okay. Well, thank you for your perspective on that, caller. Deja, what you think?
I'm gonna reiterate what I had expressed in our conversation last week that that the only thing that you can truly affect and truly change is self. Goes back to us wanting to seek more knowledge in order to have a greater awareness of what's going on, what's happening, which will create a greater concern. And what's happened to the compassion and get some people, you know, moving is that we can only control ourselves. And so beginning with that, beginning with forgiving yourself for living in ignorance. Forgiving yourself for thinking that the world revolves around the club and the mall and your job. Forgiving yourself for not striving to be a greater success, whether that be in school or whether that be a passion of yours that you have opportunity to pursue, but you allow peer pressure and maybe even drugs and alcohol to cloud your judgment. It's forgiving yourself and realizing that you can create yourself new every day. And when you wake up tomorrow, you can take those steps towards getting more information, getting to the library, reading some books, getting on the internet, researching the things that you want to know, figuring out where your ancestors come from, figuring out your bloodlines and your lineage. In addition to that, you know, it's a health issue as well. Because while some of us are worried about bullets, some of us are at home worried about the 6 or 7 pills we got to take a day just to stay alive. So you have to start with self. If we think about how if we all unify, where would we be health wise? If we did unify, how many of us would be fit enough for battle? You know, if that was the case, those are the numbers that I look at, because unfortunately our health issues, our health risks are extremely high. Extremely high, and that's because of our diet. That's because of our lifestyles, and it's going to be a difficult cycle to break. But it starts with self. I think that's the first step in liberation is building on personal power and affecting yourself so much that you then begin to spread and affect the others around you.
Yeah, I agree with that, Mufasa.
I want to add to that because what he said was 100% on point. You do have to learn of self, start with self. You know, even with me of learning and reading, I know that I have to change my eating habits. And as I've been doing that, it's why it's amazing how my mind opening up more just off the ways of me changing my eating habits. I'm thinking more, I'm seeing things way more clear now than I was just a few weeks ago. But adding on to that, after you change yourself, and if you got kids, please stay, train your kids and show them who they are. Stay on top of them and teach them knowledge itself. Show them Afrocentric books. If you can get them to a school like Promotion, which is an Afrocentric school, take them there and enroll them. Show them who they are. Show them that they were not always slaves and gangsters and dope dealers. We have a powerful history, and we need to know who we are. We got to show our kids and train our kids who they are. After that, if you want to stay here, we got to get a community. Or I met some people today at Better Family Life that has started a community already on the continent. I didn't even know about it till tonight. It's 5,000 African Americans that's in Israel right now, begging for more African Americans to come join up. I don't know if you guys knew about that, but I just learned about it today. And they're self-sufficient, taking no money from America. The whole point was to leave here and leave America's foolishness behind. If y'all want to learn some more about that, I'll tell you later. I just learned about it today, and it was a beautiful thing.
Well, thank you for that, Mufasa, and thank you, Deja. It looks like, those are some good insights into the things that we need to do as a community, and we do appreciate and thank our guests for being on the show with us today, to Mufasa and Deja. Thank you all. We appreciate your participation today. Widow, we got 2 minutes left in this show, and thank our callers for calling in and those who've listened. Go ahead and... drum roll. I don't have the drum roll. I meant to have one. If you would. Look, I meant to have one, y'all, but I don't. So who is the winner, Miss Widow, of our supple leather handbag?
Oh, my
drum
gosh.
Roll.
Our winner is...
They don't sound like a drum. Sorry. Go ahead.
I was like, what's that? Okay. Our winner.
Is that a new sound? What the hell is that?
Wait, okay. Okay, hold on. Maybe technical difficulties. Okay. Miss Susan Hedges is our winner. And I will contact you on Facebook to let you know you have won and let you know how you can get your gift. And we do have another prize coming up next month, guys. So make sure to like the Facebook page and Don't Bite Your Tongue radio show, and invite your friends to like the page. Leave comments on the page. Give us show topics that you want to hear us discuss or that you want to come on and discuss. If you know a guest that need to be on the show, that got something to talk about, go ahead and let us know. Utilize that page. We do go on it. We do check it. And next month, we have a gift card to the Market Pub House down at the Del Mar Loop. I know y'all go to the Loop. If you don't go to the Loop, there's a $25 gift card that you can use to go ahead and explore the Del Mar Loop, which is a place that I love to go to.
That's what's up. Go ahead, Widow, and give your closing remarks, and we can wrap this show up, and I can go to my ratchet foolishness of Real Housewives of Atlanta.
I just want to thank our guests once again, our caller, our listeners, our supporters. We really do appreciate each and every one of you guys. And like I've said before, and I'm going to say it every time, be a support to the person to your left and your right. Bring them with you. Do not leave them behind. We have to motivate each other. We have to keep each other uplifted. And live out loud. If you want to do it, do it. If it makes you happy, even just for a moment, live it. There's nothing greater than happiness and living out loud. And please believe, I, Black Widow, live out loud. I live off my leaps of faith. Y'all have a good Sunday and enjoy your week, and we will see you next Sunday. Our love.
Come on, your name. You go. You on. listen, y'all. I'm going to keep it real short and simple to what I always say, and I don't even have to add anything on to this. Be the change you want to see, y'all. Peace out.